Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is Monday
Woohoo!
evening, March 7th, a little after 9:20 p.m., and just a few minutes after David Jean Baptiste hit the most amazing NCAA tournament berth-winning shot you may have ever seen.
What? Wait a minute. I DVR'd it, you jackass. You didn't have to spoil it.
But
what's to do in the puppet bunker here?
this is our Bracket Rundown Show. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. Got John Tytel and Joby Forza to my sides. David Dorman below me, David Griggs and John Sleek at his sides. Before we even get to anything, Tytel, I want to start with you. You are broadcasting live, if I am correct, from an
Sir,
event, not from
on
your
tape delay.
tape delay.
As Brent Musburger was
live on tape delay.
Live at the Colonial Athletic Association tournament from Washington, D.C. I'm at the Entertainment and Sports Arena where the Mystics play, and I believe the Capital City Go-Go as well, the G League team. An easy subway ride for me, and they were kind enough to hook me up with a press pass, so it's been great. This is my seventh game in the past, like, 48 hours, so if I fall asleep or collapse, like, that's my excuse. But we just saw the number one seed Towson go down to Delaware by double digits, so Delaware is in the championship game tomorrow, and the good news for Towson is the one seed there in the NIT, so it's this weird circumstance where a team from a mid-major conference loses before the title game, but their season is not over. Obviously, the AC8 is available to everybody, but it's a nice consolation prize, I think.
Well, if they want to pass to the NIT, we'll tell them to give us a call, right?
Yeah, Chad, I'm also live here from the puppet bunker. Can you see this? The lights aren't working. It's very dark in here.
Yes, we can see that, Griggs.
Okay, can you let me out here now?
No, we'll talk about that later. That's for Video Notebook later tonight. This is a Bracket Rundown Show. What I've done is I asked each of our panelists, along with Mike Cha, who's supposed to be joining us, he may be jumping in a little late, to submit a 1 through 55 seed list, a list of the top 55 teams in the nation, regardless of conference. I then went ahead and created a bracket, I scored them basically cross-country-wise, and went ahead and created a bracket of those teams. And what we're going to do is reveal that bracket right here on the air, live, on tape delay, and kind of discuss the teams and where every team fell. And things worked right. You see a blank bracket on the screen in front of you right now. We are going to begin revealing these teams one at a time through the first 16. Once we get to the five seeds, we're going to do one seed line at a time. I did go ahead and fill in the bottom of the half of the bracket there. I was able to make a few last-minute adjustments even based on tonight's results. Got Towson out of the field, for example, at the very last minute. But let's start at the very top, the number one team. It was not unanimous, but they are the number one team in the nation in both polls that came out today as well. Joby, the Gonzaga Bulldogs, number one.
Yeah, no.
You don't agree.
Not a lot of.
Oh, you do agree.
No, I actually do not agree.
Okay.
But based on the depth and the charge of one team out of the Big 12 that was on the two line probably a couple of weeks ago for a lot of us. But Gonzaga certainly is worthy. They're going to get a one. They deserve a one. Question is overall number one seed. It's when you get to the real depth of the resume, I happen to like Baylor just a little more. Now that's nothing. That's not a crack on Gonzaga. It's that Baylor's had more opportunities. And with the recent wins, particularly over Kansas, that really did it for me to put Baylor over the top right now. But, you know, Baylor Gonzaga 1-2. Where have we heard that before? I can't remember if that's ever happened in the recent past. So,
well, I'll tell you what, there is Gonzaga and Baylor. And Griggs, let me ask you about this, because I don't think you think Baylor is number two overall, do you?
No.
Why
but
not?
I like them a lot.
Okay. You like them a lot, so much that you put them number six overall.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, I don't like them as much as the five teams in front of them. But, they have – what it is for me is true road wins against other protected seeds. And that was sort of what had the most pop for me. And neither of these teams, while really good, I just – and then the other thing is that the loss to Oklahoma State was sort of an anchor when compared to the other one and two seeds.
Okay. Well, as a result, actually, let's go ahead and pull up the number two, because it may surprise you. It was not Baylor. It actually was, Tytel, your Arizona Wildcats.
Yeah, I've even seen some people put them as the number one overall, although I agree with Joby that I think the Zags belong there. I'm certainly thrilled to see them in San Diego because I will be heading that way in a couple of weeks. They certainly looked shaky down the stretch, losing to Colorado. And I think they had a halftime deficit at home to Stanford, for God's sakes. They destroyed Cal. And if they stub their toe against the hated Sun Devils in the quarterfinals, then I suppose I could see them getting bumped down. But barring that, I think they are locked as a one seed.
Right. Stalica, number three overall. I think that's where this Baylor team did come in. Do you think Gonzaga 1, Arizona 2, Baylor 3 is correct?
I think Gonzaga and Arizona I would not have too much of a problem with. The arguments could be made for a Kansas or even a Kentucky to be up here. I'm not going to raise any serious objections over Baylor. The only place where I would have a word of caution is I could also see him potentially be a number four overall just because they were also swept by Texas Tech.
They were swept by, well, how awful is it, Dorman, to be swept by Texas Tech?
Not bad at all. Texas Tech will be popping up real soon.
Right. I believe we have Mike Cha joining us as well now, but let's keep going here. Hello. To the number. Hey, Mike. Mike, we're just showing the top three teams already, and number four is coming up on the screen right now, in fact, and it is the Auburn Tigers.
Ooh,
and
really?
Slika, I got to go back to you for that number four team. You like them about four spots lower than this, did you not?
I like Kentucky a little bit more than Auburn. Granted, Auburn did beat Kentucky head-to-head, and they did win the SEC regular crown. I can't believe I'm saying this. I am with the puppet in that I am going to give him more points just for getting a win against a team like Kansas on the road. I think Auburn's best win out of conference, Loyola Chicago.
Hey, they're a tournament team. Come on. They also beat Murray State already in the tournament. Tytel, this was
I still have to give a little more weight to Murray Kansas State.
Tytel, this was actually very, very close. It was just one point apart between Auburn and Kentucky for the one line. Do you think it's that close between these two teams?
Yes, and I'm happy to have somebody disagree with me, but I assume that if these teams meet in the SEC tournament, hopefully in the title game, winner is a one and loser is a two.
Yep,
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, probably. That's the good thing about this. If this is the battle here for the fourth one seed, it will play itself out this next week. Just like if it ends up being a Baylor-Kansas battle, that could also play itself out. Number five overall, starting off the two line here, obviously was Kentucky. I think I already spoiled that by mentioning it. They would be there in the Midwest region. Joby, number six overall, right behind the Kentucky Wildcats. Let's see, that is popping up there in the South region. That's Kansas.
And I actually like Kansas a little more. I guess I'm Big 12 crazy right now. Yeah, because I like Baylor probably more than the average panelist. I like Kansas more. The conference is just so tough. You don't get a day off. Even Oklahoma State is not a day off. You know, in many conferences, they would have finished in the power conferences, they would have been top four. The fact of the matter is, Kansas has those depth of wins that we all talk about. Baylor has those depth of wins. You get them in the Big 12, but these teams didn't just play them. They delivered on them and delivered on them on a high percentage as well.
I hear every team in the Big 12 is in the top 80 in net, every single team. That's amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing, Mike. And I think when we look at these top six teams, I mean, we're still looking at all teams that have a shot to be solidly on the one line, depending on what happens this week. Are we not?
Potentially, my thing about Kansas for now, and again, this could change, right, is wins away from home against really high, and it isn't there. Like the win at Iowa State is really good, but once you get to North Texas and Oklahoma State and Kansas State and St. John's, those are good wins by selection standards. Those are great wins by selection standards. They're not good wins by one seed standards. And I don't think it's as good as going to Kansas and winning and going to Alabama and winning. And you look at everybody we've got ahead of them, they've got better wins away from home than Kansas. Everybody does. That, to me, that's why I think this is about where they should be.
Okay. Mike, number hold on. I just hit the wrong button there. Please, I just spoiled things by showing the wrong seed line. Mike, Villanova came in at number seven overall there on the two line, going to Pittsburgh in the East region, potentially playing in Philadelphia in the regionals.
Well, Well, not bad. I had them at 9. So, I mean, 7's not too far off. I mean, it's kind of tough once you get to the – after Kansas and Kentucky. I mean, I had Duke and Purdue, but, you know, Villanova is not a bad choice either. I know Providence is the regular season champions, but Villanova did beat Providence twice among their many other quality wins.
And, Tytel, do you do that? Do you put Villanova over Providence despite Providence winning the conference regular season title?
I think we revert to our SEC strategy of let them fight it out in the title game and winner goes and loser drops.
That's actually a pretty good idea.
Nova did beat them twice. I mean, and I think that, like, if they don't beat them for a third time, you really punish them for not doing something for a third time that they've already done twice.
But it's not punishment because because Providence is the Big East champ. And that does matter. And they didn't lose to some of the teams that Villanova did. Yeah. So, you know.
We're saying that's the way all the teams that Villanova did either.
Yeah, Villanova's schedule was outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll pull those two profiles up real quick. If you look at the strength of schedule, for example, 17 versus 52, 9 versus 124 non-conference strength of schedule, all the metrics favor Villanova here.
Yeah.
Even some of the resume metrics favor Villanova. So that's I think that is reason to have Villanova ahead of them as well. But Dorman, number 8 overall was Duke, our ACC top, our top team in ACC.
It's exactly where I had them. I thought about dropping them. I looked at what was right below them, and there were a few other losses around them. I'm good with Duke at the 8th spot, exactly where I had them pegged.
And here's something kind of funny. The new polls came out this week, the last regular season polls. 1 through 8 in the nation were these exact 8 teams in almost the exact same order. Only teams that were flipped was Duke was 7, Villanova was 8. But, you know, polls we don't really look at, but it's kind of funny how our selections as a consensus not only exactly match the polls through 8 teams, it actually even matched the polls all the way down to 9 teams. Sleeka, number 9 was Purdue coming in there in the Midwest region.
This was also a Purdue team that did end up surviving at home against Indiana. So they're not going to fall any further right here.
Right. And this is where we finally start diverging from the top 25 polls, at least, thankfully, when we get to number 10. Tytel, number 10 overall. We've got, let's see where they are there. In the East region, another Big Ten team here. We've got Wisconsin.
Yeah, this is a weird one because any loss to Nebraska is a bad loss. However, when your star player gets hit in the head, like I'm glad to hear Chad reported earlier to us that Davis should be back for the Big Ten tourney, but I don't know how the selection committee deals with a mid-game injury that I would argue affected the outcome of the game.
Tytel, I would argue that you should still beat Nebraska even without Johnny Davis at home, should you not?
I think the 5 of us on this podcast with a couple subs should beat Nebraska, but who knows? I'll be the sub, by the way.
Joby, number 11 overall. They should be coming up there in the South region. There's your Providence team. Joby? All right, I think we may have lost Joby
with another fantastic pick.
We have lost Joby for
Providence. That's exactly what I was thinking, Joby.
That is a great action there.
Okay, we're having a little tech audio problems here with Joby. Dorman, your thoughts on Providence. Joby, try to get your audio fixed up here.
I have them on the 3 seed and the 3 line today. I do see Providence has the ability to move up with a Big East tournament championship. Otherwise, with a bad loss, they could slip to a 4. But as of today, I got them right on the 3 line, just as we do.
Okay. Mike, over at finishing up our 3 line came Tennessee. How about the Vols here? It's almost a sneaky, quiet, but really good team here out of the SEC.
I dare to call them a home court hero because they have a lot of quality wins, but they've all come at home.
Wrong screen again. I'm sorry, guys.
I think, you know, it's really close between them and Illinois. But I think, you know, now with the Southeast with the SEC tournament, and that's played on a neutral court, let's see how Tennessee does because, you know, right now it's like, yes, they have a very good resume, but a lot of their good wins have come at home.
Yeah,
excellent assessment, Mike. That's what I thought of them too.
Yeah, exactly. The only win away from home was against a tournament team. I think it's the neutral court win over North Carolina. Am I right on that? unless I'm missing something in there.
I think you're right, yeah. And well, at least for Tennessee, that's looking better and better.
It is, but you know, on the flip side, you also have no losses outside of Tier 1A, and that's pretty darn impressive, too. So,
and look at the list of wins. Arizona, Auburn.
A lot of teams we already have in the field. I mean, yeah,
exactly.
That's the top end of their resume, and I don't care if it's in Knoxville. You got to respect that.
Win is a win.
Joby, I think we have your audio working again here. So let's go to the four line with you here. Starting off number 13 overall, there's a Texas Tech team that we mentioned a little earlier as well.
Yeah, this is a Texas Tech team that when brackets come out, I'm going to be very tempted to put in my final four, depending on the lineups and setups. It's probably resume-wise where they deserve right now. In the recent loss, I mean, come on, stubbing your toe recently wasn't the best move, but they – I think there's a drop off, though. We could argue with Illinois here to the next round. We could see Texas Tech, if they make a run to the final, which means it has to go through Baylor or Kansas to get there, I think they're not going to be on the four line. They'll be on the three or above.
Agree with that.
Yeah, they've got those impressive road wins, Griggs, do they not? At Baylor, they at do. Texas.
Right, yeah.
Salika. Number 14 overall here, also on the four line. Looks like we're coming in the West region. There's an Illinois team that was also previously mentioned.
Yep, this was the team that also ended up winning a share of the Big Ten title, thanks to Nebraska giving the Illini an unexpected gift on the final day of the regular season right here. I thought the Illini had screwed up their best chance when they lost at home to Ohio State, but give them credit for coming back from a double-digit deficit against Iowa to get what looks like it's going to be a protected seed no matter what.
And give Rutgers the double bye and the four seed in the Big Ten tournament. Thank you very much, Illini.
Nebraska's sent some of the finest steaks to Illinois. Or actually, Illinois sent some of the finest steaks to Nebraska.
Yeah, there you go. There you go, Mike. Yeah. That's about it. Tytel, number 15 overall, the second class of our protected seeds. We have UCLA, another Pac-12 school.
Yeah, the Bruins, I think this is right on the money. They get to stay out west in Portland. They have a great nucleus coming back from last year's Final Four team. They've been less than perfect down the stretch, but I think this is right where they're at. And with Chama Chachu out, I think that if Cody Riley can get some work done inside, and if Ju Zhang can drive, and Jaquez and everybody, like, that should be a nice little upset there.
Ah, that's a killer region, though, with Baylor between Kentucky, too. So, hey, yeah. let's finish off our protected seeds here. Griggs, if it'll show up here, number 16 overall. It was down to real close battle between two teams, and just narrowly, Arkansas edged out UConn for that last 16 seed. Do you agree with that?
Not entirely, but it's not outrageous. The one thing about Arkansas, while their wins are great, it's similar to what we see. They're a bit of a home court hero, whereas UConn's done a little bit more. I think the games, UConn's hardest wins were harder to win than Arkansas's, but Arkansas is playing really well right now. It's not outrageous that they're up here. I think the real committee will have them there.
Well, they both beat Auburn.
Yeah.
Arkansas beat Kentucky and Tennessee. UConn beat Villanova. Arkansas swept LSU.
Yeah, I like
UConn. I agree. I think it's a real close. Joby, are you with Arkansas in this matchup here? Did I lose Joby again?
Joby is on fire tonight, guys.
I think we lost Joby again. Mike, are you with the Arkansas or UConn? Mike.
I don't know if it's just me or the connection's wonky. Was it just me or is the connection a little wonky?
Yeah, we seem to be a little bit off here, but let's keep going here. Then we did get Arkansas.
Great show, UConn. Guys.
Okay. Great. Let's see what we can do to get things a little better, stronger here. But let's go right on to the five line, and on the five line, Dorman, hopefully your connection's good here. We have that UConn team just mentioned, along with Texas, Alabama, and how about the St. Mary's Gales getting a five seed?
Exactly what I had. I think St. Mary's is very deserving. That Gonzaga win stands out. completely. I'm good with Connecticut, Texas, and Alabama. I think they're definitely deserving, and I think there's a cut after the five line that shows that these teams, these 20 teams, are a cut above the rest, and I think there's clearly a tier here.
Right. Anything surprise you with these four teams, Stalica?
Alabama is a team that you'd think would be a protected seed had it not been for losses at Georgia and Missouri. So two kind of question marks right there. I'm not going to raise any objections over the other three teams, nor do I see any teams on the upcoming sixth line that I would really vault up here either.
Well, let me ask about this Alabama team. Tytel, unless they win the SEC tournament, they're going in with 13 losses. 13 losses in the five line? Does that make sense?
Ordinarily, no, but this is team schizophrenia. So, like, you see plenty of good up here, plenty of bad down here. The strength of schedule is the best in the nation. So I think that that's why if you're losing 12, if you have a 12-loss team in your Wake Forest with the non-conference strength of schedule that's like 400 or something, that's a problem. But when you're the hardest schedule in the nation, you're allowed to miss a few games here and there.
Okay, I think we've got Joby back again. We'll cross our fingers on that. We're definitely having some connection issues tonight. Probably everybody's streaming all these games or something. But Joby, on the sixth line, we had coming in Ohio State, Iowa, LSU, and Houston. What are your thoughts on those four teams coming in here?
Except for Iowa, this is the land of the recently. I had a good season, but I decided to get drunk at the end. I mean, it's I don't know what Houston's doing. I mean, come on. I know Memphis, they'll likely be on our field, but come on. You got to recover it, and you've got to do better. Ohio State, likewise. I like how Ohio State's filling out the string. Yeah, hey, Mike likely has them in our field tonight, but come on. You got to win that if you're Ohio State. So I'm more Colorado
Michigan
State.
Won it without Hunter Dickinson.
Yeah. Colorado State is who's missing here, my honest opinion.
Well, yeah, I'm not even sure Houston belongs this high. I mean, when you look at them, what have they done?
Yeah, and that's a big question.
Maybe that's SMU.
Okay. Exactly. Tytel, let me ask you about this Houston team, because I'm looking for a win against somebody in the field, and I'm not seeing it.
Not with Texas State playing the way they are. No. Yeah, it's. I predicted this like 2 months ago when they got all the injuries, and then they proved me wrong by like winning out in January and February. But they're certainly hitting some bumps. Memphis is their kryptonite. It's a problem that they're missing two guys. I still can't believe they won all those games in a row without them, frankly. So they're about where I expected them to be, frankly.
Okay. So you think even without being anybody in the field, that those predictive metrics of like two in the BPI are enough to carry you up to the five line?
Joby, if you have 26 wins and a five ranking in the net, does that equal a pretty good seed usually?
Yes, it does.
Thank you.
And yeah, I mean, let's put it this way, though. Here's the one thing I say, as I said, I'd rather have Colorado State here, but this put Murray State next to Houston. You know what? That is, they probably should be similarly seeded. I mean, Houston may be a little above it because their strength of schedule is a little bit better given the Americans better than the OVC, but yeah, I hear what everybody's saying, but by the same token, I think Murray State should be wearing white, and I have a feeling I will be treated appropriately in the next seed line.
Yeah, there is that Murray State profile. At least they beat Memphis, and they beat Chattanooga, teams that are going to be in the field.
Yeah.
If you're forecasting the committee, yeah, but what Tytel just said is right. They probably will put them here, but I guess I'm not trying to forecast the committee. I just don't think in lately they just haven't even looked that good. They look like an 8 seed.
The 7 line, which is a line that Houston should be below also, according to Griggs, does include that Colorado State team Joby was talking about, along with Marquette, USC, and Seton Hall. Stalica, how about these four teams coming in here?
Marquette's trending a little bit down of late. Losing games like Butler and DePaul will hurt their seeding a bit. Seton Hall's been climbing higher and higher, even with, I think it's Bryce Aiken, who's out for the rest of the year. USC's been kind of meandering around the 6 and 7 lines all year and haven't really had anything completely spectacular to hang their hat on outside of a UCLA win.
Yeah, it's a real Mike. It's a real strange Marquette profile. You get the sweep of Villanova, but you also have 11 losses. It's probably going to be 12 by the time the Big East tournament's done.
Yeah, it's a little schizophrenic. I mean, this is where it's like, you know, you can have someone seeding them at nine, like admittedly I did, but then, you know, some other people seeding them at seven, and I don't have a big problem with that. But it's just it's like which Marquette team's going to show up.
It's really a team that has a wide range of where I think it could land Titel as well, if we still have you here.
Yeah, I just wish that USC had scheduled somebody other than Georgetown in non-conference play, because 307 is not that great.
Yeah, look at that non-conference strength of schedule on USC. That is awful.
To Titel's point there, I think Boise State might get the nod from the committee ahead of USC and possibly even Marquette, also winning the Mountain West regular season title. Look for Boise State to get some love for the committee. I think they're high on this conference, as well they should be, and they're the outright champion.
We just ignore the Cal State Bakersfield loss?
Yes, we should.
Okay. I just want to make certain when we talk about Rutgers and ignoring Lafayette
USC
losses.
USC lost to Stanford at home.
Okay, fair enough. Let's go ahead and pull up the 8 line here. Titel, the 8 line coming in up there. We've got that Boise State team that was just mentioned, the Murray State team we mentioned, along with Iowa State and Michigan State. You like an Iowa State team wearing white despite a losing conference record. Do you like that?
Got a couple of coaches who are new to their programs there, and Tommy and TJ. It's a long trip out west for the Cyclones to get to face the Wildcats, who will pop over with a bunch of fans, as there's a huge alumni group of Wildcats in California. I'm also interested to see the defending champs. Your reward, even though you're in Fort Worth, is that you get to play the most successful Big Ten coach ever, as Tom Izzo passed Bob Knight the other day, I believe.
If we were going into our selection committee right now, I would either propose that Murray State immediately go up to a number 7 or Kentucky go up to number 1. We have to have Kentucky and Murray State in the second round here.
It could very well happen, though, in the real bracket. Absolutely. Let's see here. Let's go to the 9 line here. These are potential first-round matchups now we're going to start seeing. Boise State's opponent is going to be Creighton, Iowa State, San Francisco. Michigan State gets San Diego State, and Murray State gets TCU. Let's see here. Mike, your thoughts on those 4 teams coming in?
I'm generally good with that. I mentally had San Francisco ranked a little bit lower, but I don't have a big problem with them being at the 9 spot. I personally had Wyoming, but I'm good with San Francisco. It's not a problem with me.
Yeah, Joby, what about that? As we record this right now, San Francisco is down big to Gonzaga in the first half of the West Coast Conference semifinal, but it's to Gonzaga, the number 1 team.
Yeah, they're losing on
initial. They won't be penalized for that.
One of the top teams in the country. You know, a lot of this group's over consensus number 1. I'm not going to hold it against the Dons too much. They have proven themselves. A big win. Getting the win over BYU is a very important win to show, hey, I'm here, I'm ready to play. I think the 8, 9, 10 area is exactly where they are. And San Francisco gets the same benefit as San Diego State in that they are coming from conferences where they're not the top dog this year. As a matter of fact, they're not even the number 2 dog this year, but the conference is so much better than it has been in a traditional year. They're able to get, hey, San Francisco, a BYU win yesterday means something. Or a couple of days ago means something. A San Diego State, you go out and you play against Wyoming, Boise State, and Colorado State and get some wins. That means something. That's what's cool about this year and different about this year. The fact that in years past, I don't think San Francisco and San Diego State would get the opportunities to be on the 9 line. I'm glad they did, and they are deserving.
I agree. Past years, they wouldn't even get a sniff. This year is very different.
Right. And how about Creighton in here, Dorman?
They
did pick up 1 win without Nembhard, and they played well in their finale as well.
They did. I don't know why I got a feeling the committee is going to knock Creighton for this Nembhard loss. And if they don't come out and win that, what I believe will be a second round game, they are going to play Marquette. That's going to be a tough game in the Garden come Thursday night. I see the committee really knocking Creighton a few seed lines with the injury and getting a little cold down the stretch without him. I don't see Creighton this high when the brackets revealed Sunday night.
Here's where I'm going to disagree, Dorman. Okay. They do have the win against UConn, which they did without Nembhard. So at least they've shown the committee they can win without him. They also won at St. John's while that injury was taking place.
Right. So
great point. I don't disagree, Stalik. I just historically they like to knock teams with injuries, and if they don't win like they were before, it's a fantastic win at Connecticut. And I'm not saying I necessarily agree with it. I don't think Creighton will be this high come Sunday night.
I'll tell you what, Tytel, you're the expert at predicting the committee. What do you think about that? Do you think that Creighton is going to get knocked, especially if they can't beat Marquette this week?
A little. I mean, but like Stalika said, they've proven they can win without him. And the whole point is, like, what team are you going to field in mid-March? And the team they're fielding then is going to be the team they have now that just beat Connecticut and St. John's. If they get destroyed by Marquette, yeah, they might become a double-digit seed. But what if they make a run of the title game, lose by Providence to one? They might go up two lines because the committee will say, oh, like, you're winning with your team. You're a seven, sure.
You're better without him.
And it does have heft on the resume, you know, with him. And so if they can prove that heft is worthy even without him, all of a sudden, that I think Tytel's right. I think they have the potential to really move up with a win. And I don't think they'll fall too much down. I mean, they're safely in the field as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
this is the range where they're going to land. I mean, they could land as low as an 11. I don't think they're going to be in a playing game.
Griggs, I'm going to show up the 10 seeds now. We see Marquette gets Davidson, USC gets Michigan, Seton Hall gets Wyoming, who we mentioned. Whoa. And how about those North Carolina Tar Heels blowing up against Colorado State? Now firmly in the field after they
Rose Bowl matchup here.
Yeah, it kind of makes you wonder, like, is the rivalry with Duke so heated that they decided to tank it all year long just to spoil it even more when they went to Cameron? It's someone that has been a huge, huge critic of them all year long, and I like to think rightfully so. They are on the 10 line now after that win, and rightfully so.
Yeah, you add in that win, and there is one bad loss. I'll scroll down to find it. They lost at home to Pitt. It's way down there. But
Mike knows, now Michigan is, as we just saw, is a legit win. For most of the year, we're looking at North Carolina's resume and go, well, they have a win over NIT-bound Michigan. Yeah, you know, and that was what they kind of hung on to out of conference. No, now, I mean, it's still in Chapel Hill, but now it's a win over at least tournament team Michigan. It's the line, this 10th line is kind of is like the forgotten season, the first half of the season for those two particular teams.
Dorman, I got Wyoming up there on the right. How important is this quarterfinal game against UNLV coming up? Is this team potentially in trouble if they don't win that game?
Yes, they are potentially in trouble. They will be very nervous if they don't beat UNLV at the Thomas and Mack Center coming up this Thursday. It's a huge game. They need it. They struggled down the stretch. They even lost a game at home. Very rare for them, be it San Diego State, but it was a loss at home. They need this UNLV win.
I agree.
And it's essentially a road game for them.
Yep.
I believe it does count as a true road game. It is at the Thomas and Mack Center.
Yeah, it does. Or it used to.
Mike, your Michigan team in on this line as well. You know, I think that they're there with what they did at Ohio State.
Well, I mean, even as a Michigan fan, though, I mean, I'm surprised that they're ranked this high. I'm just concerned that they're only four above 500. I don't know if it's a hard and fast rule, but you usually don't get an at-large bid unless you're four games above 500.
Well, they have a huge, huge first-round game, the 8-9 game against Indiana. I think they win that, they're probably a lock. They lose that, they may have to sweat a little bit.
I agree, and we email, and we definitely agree on that.
I'm going to show three out of the four teams on the 11 line here before we get to our first four. But we see coming in the 11 line, we see Miami gets Ohio State. LSU gets Notre Dame. We've got a couple good football games there. And Houston gets that Loyola Chicago team, Missouri Valley Conference champions, and the automatic bid winner. Stalika, what are your thoughts on these three?
Loyola Chicago, this is probably what we expected now that they came out of Arch Madness without having to sweat potentially stealing a bid from somebody else right here. Notre Dame and Miami are actually kind of looking pretty meh compared to a team like North Carolina, who now has a win at Duke in their own back pockets. Miami also has the win at Duke, but not much else. And in fact, I could make an argument they might even belong either in the first four or possibly out, depending on what happens in the ACC tournament this week.
Yeah, Tytel, are Miami and Notre Dame both still sweating and both have still have work to do here?
I think they'll both make it, but you certainly don't want to lose badly and then be done and have to pray on Selection Sunday. So they could both use a win, but no, I don't think – I mean, I think they're going to make it, but I don't think it's a slam dunk.
All right. So they could use one more.
Miami plays Wake if Wake takes care of business in the first in their first ACC tournament game in the quarterfinals. That will be very interesting because notice we haven't mentioned Wake yet. So that game could have big time seeding implications and actually getting at large at all.
Absolutely. I agree with Joby's point on that and everyone else's. The ACC, like we've said all year, is struggling. Now we see two teams here, Miami and Notre Dame, on real thin ice. And Joby just mentioned Wake hasn't popped yet. The ACC could possibly lose all three of these games, although all three of these teams, although I agree with Joby, the winner, if that Wake game finds, if the Wake does get to play Miami, the winner is in. But the ACC in serious trouble.
And one thing I will throw in, the Notre Dame matchup would be, assuming the seeds hold out, would be Virginia Tech. And ironically, I still don't understand Virginia Tech's net, but it is what it is. Notre Dame, I think, is actually relatively safer because it would be a tier one loss that might not hit them that high. I think it should, because I don't think Virginia Tech is the 35th or whatever their net is team in the country. But metrically, Notre Dame might actually be more comfortable.
I'm actually not going to reveal the last team on the first of their first four games. I'm instead going to – we had a bit of a seed line swap we had to do here. If you notice, in each of the 3-6 pods here, there's a Big Ten team in each of them, which meant that it was impossible to put a Big Ten team on the 11 line. As a result, Rutgers actually outranked the first four, but does get moved down to the 12 line, playing UConn there. So before
the
I get to the first four.
The Lee Del Vecchio challenge.
The Lee Del Vecchio.
I don't know who to root for. I don't like either
one.
It's
only a Big East matchup, Chad.
Yes, it is. That's another conference game, right?
yeah.
Scarlet Knights, though, get the four seed in the Big Ten. Probably cannot suffer a bad loss in the Big Ten tournament. Everyone I'm hearing says that they're in. Tytel, you nodding your head. Are my Scarlet Knights in? No matter what
but
happens.
Chad, Rutgers can't suffer a bad loss. They would play Iowa.
They would play Iowa, so they cannot suffer a bad loss. Yeah, that's.
Yeah, Chad, I think they're in. I mean, they do have the second best defensive player in the conference in McConnell. So
you saw my tweet today, did you not?
Chad, there's one metric that concerns me that could stick them out. And no, it sounds small. I know you go, oh, come on, we're talking about one ranking point. Get that net into this top 75. I swear the committee has hard lines here. I'm dead serious. 76 net should make you really nervous, whereas ironically, 73, 74 wouldn't. I know it's just a number, but I'm telling you, that should add some nervousness.
Well, a win over Iowa, the quarterfinals would be the end of that question. But go ahead, Dorman.
When you look at Rutgers' wins, they're so much stronger than these ACC teams we keep discussing. I was getting nervous because I didn't understand why Rutgers hadn't been named. Now I do with the seed bump. They are ahead, to me, of all these ACC bubblers.
I'll actually tell you, they actually came in second to last in that seed line. They would have been ranked ahead of Notre Dame as well and Loyola Chicago. They would have actually been only below Miami on that line, but again, the way seed line swaps worked, they had to fall down a seed line. That first of the first four games that got in their 11 line, Memphis and Wake Forest. There's another ACC team, and there's that Memphis team. Griggs, you want to go ahead and beat up on Wake Forest because you don't even have them in your top 55.
Well, they just haven't done anything, and they haven't looked that good. Other than that, yeah, good selection.
They beat Notre Dame, Griggs.
Yeah, at home. Notre Dame's not the best road team.
Stalika, what about you? Are you okay with these?
I could even argue that Memphis could belong above the first four at this point. Granted, they've been also schizophrenic themselves. They seem to have finally stabilized after a mid-January swoon. So you look at their records in late January and a good chunk of February. The only loss they have back in February was at SMU. No shame in that.
Let's go to our last two teams that made it in. I believe that they should be showing up here in the West region. Texas's first round opponent. It's the winner of a game between Sleeka, your Xavier Musketeers, and VCU, getting our very last spot in.
Xavier made it. Oh my God.
Yeah, my thought was Xavier and Wake Forest could have potentially been matched up in a first four game, although that would have created a potential conflict with Providence right there. Right. If that matchup does happen, it is going to be the biggest home crowd that VCU will have all year, even bigger than what they have at the Siegel Center.
Yeah. How about that, Joby? How about VCU? Is this team, you know, they suffered a loss on the road in their final game at St. Louis.
Yeah. Here's how I view VCU. I view them the same as St. Bonaventure, Dayton, et cetera. I think the A-10, somebody will rise to the top out of all those A-10 teams that are right there. I think we're going to mention in the other teams just missing a lot of A-10 teams. And I think VCU, in my opinion, is the most likely to get to Davidson or whoever. And as such, that because of how the structure of the seating looks, VCU makes the A-10 final, they're in. By the way, Dayton makes the A-10 final, they're in. So one A-10, a spot's going to be reserved for a second A-10 team, depending on Davidson's performance. We'll see how it turns out.
Tytel, do you think there is a second A-10 team that's going to get in? And you know, and Joby's right that it is. We're right to have VCU here. Maybe they get swapped out for another A-10.
I think that it could be a multiple. I'm going to be there in D.C. as if the CAA attorney ever ends. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. But the X factor for the Rams is Adrian, aka Ace Baldwin. So he missed the first eight games of the season. They went 4-4, and they lost to UConn in overtime, Baylor by single digits, Chattanooga by two, and Wagner at home by a lot, unfortunately. So 4-4 without him, 17-4 with him, including the loss at St. Louis. So he is changing the whole team. When he's healthy, they're in. When he's hurt, they're out, period.
Now, my question for Tytel would be, is there room for a potential three-bid A-10 right here? Let's assume that the winner of VCU and Dayton, assuming the seed holds up, the winner that ends up beating Davidson in the championship, could the VCU-Dayton loser sneak into Dayton in the first four?
Could, but I defer to Joby that, like, when you have teams from mid-major conferences trying to squeeze in, and he was saying a couple weeks ago, the reason Murray's not going to move up only down is because there are teams in bigger conferences who will get bigger wins, who will leapfrog them, I believe. Right, Joby?
I agree 100%. When Chad pulls up the first four teams out, you're going to be screaming, I have a feeling, with a lot of teams. You go, oh, opportunity, 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 and somebody's going to pop up. Also, I don't think the resume will be good enough at that point to beat out. So, as it sits right now, the Dayton VCU loser in your example, John, I don't think is going to have the resume right now to be as good as BYU, whose season has ended. And I think I do agree VCU should be in over BYU right now, but another loss to a Dayton team would then flip on how I view them.
Well, let's take a look at those top four, Joby. Florida, BYU, Indiana, Oregon. We actually did not go A-10 here, but we do put three teams in here that are still playing, one that's not. Dorman, your thoughts on these four teams here?
I think BYU, based on the season being over, is basically done. The only thing that's going to happen to BYU, our team's going to leapfrog them. Florida in the SEC, Indiana in the Big Ten have plenty of opportunities ahead this weekend. Oregon, I think, is out. I can't believe they're actually this high on our board. They decided to go to Wazoo over the weekend and give up about 55 points in the first half. They didn't even look like they showed up. Oregon's done, gone. Florida, Indiana, to me, are the next two in.
I'll throw the other six that got votes: SMU, Texas A&M, Oklahoma, Dayton and St. Bonaventure, Joby, and Virginia even got, I think, one vote to be at least in the top 55.
From me, because I wanted just to stay the point, Virginia makes the run to the ACC final there. Well, Wake better hope that doesn't happen, because that spot, if we're talking, I know Jerry Palm conferences don't get bid, teams do. But if you look at how the committee's acted, there are some spots like that. And Wake's spot looks nice and comfortable if Virginia goes through North Carolina, tier one win, followed by either Virginia Tech or Notre Dame. The winner will be a tier one win at that point. Two straight tier one wins to a final against Duke, and you lose. Hey, all of a sudden, that's a pretty decent resume.
Texas A&M here.
Okay, yeah, I want to ask about two teams. Yeah. Griggs, I want to ask you about Texas A&M, so I'll start with that. Go ahead.
Look at the resume. They were a team that was sort of like, okay, they're not inside the bubble, but they can reach it, you know. And then when you look at their resume, it kind of snuck up on you. Look at it. At Alabama, Arkansas at home, albeit Arkansas is a little bit of a home court hero, so beating them on your own floor, maybe not as good. Neutral against Notre Dame, road win at Ole Miss, that's pretty solid. Florida at home, not that big of a deal. And when you look at the losses, you know, at Tennessee, at Auburn, at LSU, at Arkansas, and
home to Missouri. Home to Missouri.
Okay, I hadn't gotten down to that one yet, but a lot of them are away from home against teams that are very high up on the seed list or in the protected seed room. That's a good profile when compared to the rest of the bubble. I had them in. I really did.
Well, I think this is a fascinating game against Florida in their first SEC game. It is definitely, I think it's an elimination game. The winner may not be in, but the loser's probably done. Mike, I want to ask you about SMU, who I have up there on the left, because you talked about them last week as well. You kind of like this profile.
Yeah, I'm not terribly surprised that they're not in the field, but I'm a little bit surprised that they're not even among the first four out. I think, you know, they do have a road win over Memphis. They did beat Houston at home, and actually they swept Memphis. They have a home win over Dayton. So, I mean, I'm not saying that they're a great team by any means, but I was a little surprised they didn't get more consideration.
Tytel, should SMU be closer?
No, 16-0 at home means they're a home court hero. Mm-hmm. Lost to Loyola Marymount, albeit by six, and albeit pre-Thanksgiving, is still not great. Mike makes a lot of good points, and maybe other people value them higher than I do, but non-conference strength of schedule, it's just not doing it for me. They're close, just not doing it for me.
A run to the American Championship game could make things interesting, though, especially with that being that late game on Sunday. So let's go ahead here and quickly show the rest of the 12 line. These are two auto bid winners coming in here. Alabama's first round opponent is North Texas. And St. Mary's gets South Dakota State. A couple of very, very dangerous under-the-radar teams here that at least might be on the bubble if they don't win their automatic bids, but I probably don't have quite enough to get in. I don't know. Let's go ahead and reveal the rest of the bracket here before we go to any other final thoughts and comments. Beginning on number 13 line, Illinois gets Chattanooga. Get that miracle win tonight to win the SoCon championship. Arkansas gets Iona, UCLA gets Vermont, Texas Tech gets New Mexico State, a very dangerous New Mexico State team. 14 line, Tennessee gets Princeton, Providence gets UNC Wilmington, who comes in now as our Colonial projected champion after Towson lost tonight. They may lose as well this evening, and which means that somebody else will be there by tomorrow morning. Purdue gets Toledo, Wisconsin gets Long Beach, 15 seeds. We've got Longwood getting Duke. Montana State against Kansas, Georgia State against, that is your Sun Belt champion tonight. They get Kentucky. Jacksonville State, despite losing in the ASUN tournament, is our projected champion. I am projecting that Bellarmine will win at home in the ASUN title game tomorrow, which would make Jacksonville State your auto bid winner and getting Villanova.
What a situation that is.
Didn't that happen a few years ago with North Florida and Stetson, I think?
Yeah, it did. Stetson lost, but had they won, North Florida would have gotten a bid. The 16 seeds. Purdue Fort Wayne, our new projected champion out of the Horizon League, against Bryant in one first four game. Nichols State against Alcorn State in the other. Colgate and Norfolk State in there as well. Let me run through each of you. Any of your thoughts on this entire bracket or anything else you want to discuss? Stalika, let me start with you.
I think Joby mentioned on the sixth line outside of Iowa, it seemed like LSU, Houston, and Ohio State were all having shots of bourbon or whatever. Did Xavier just go through like two bottles of whiskey themselves for the final 2 months, right? Well, the final month, I should say.
Dorman.
We brought it up. We mentioned it. Watch Washington, D.C. over the weekend. Capital One Arena is the home to the A-10 championship. And there are so many storylines and teams that can pop out of this. Davidson, even St. Louis is not done yet. The Bonnies are senior laden. They had injuries during the year. They have a shot. They could make the run. Dayton, we've seen them make a tournament run earlier, be it in Thanksgiving. But they have the personnel and the coaching. VCU squarely on the bubble. This tournament should be fantastic.
It should be. Tytel.
One quick note from each region for me. If Duke's final regular season game was $80,000 a ticket, I wonder what the Elite Eight game against Gonzaga in San Francisco is going to be. I don't know if I can count that high. In the South region, I wouldn't want to play Rick Pitino and Iona in New York. Good luck, Arkansas, with that in a 4-13 strange geographic matchup. For the Midwest, I thought the Crossroads Classic was coming to an end this year, but apparently the Purdue-Notre Dame game in Indianapolis could set that all back. And in the East, I think that if you like individual matchups in a game, then you have to like the Colorado State-Carolina game. You got David Roddy against Armando Bacot. Couldn't have two more different centers. Bacot is averaging a double-double, like 12 boards a game, whereas Roddy shoots like 40% plus from three-point range. I think they're both going to be at the next level in the near future, but it'll be great to see them and see if they match up with each other or not.
It will be. Mike?
I think teams generally have 30-plus games, and I see it as like 30-plus data points. And the thing is, if you eventually get left out of the tournament, you only have yourselves to blame. You've had 30-plus games to prove yourself. You know, it's not just one or two games. And the thing is, that, you know, if you get left out, well, I mean, if you don't want to get left out, don't give the selection committee reasons to do so.
Absolutely. Where did I not go? Joby, did I go to you yet?
No, you have not.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Four teams. Tell me what you off the top they might have in common. Wake Forest, Indiana, SMU, Rutgers.
Non-conference strength of schedule.
They're all bubble teams with strengths of out of conference strengths of schedule 285 or higher. And the committee hates bad out of conference scheduling, especially from conferences where you should be doing it at Power Five conferences. Do not be surprised if there is a surprise from one of those teams that, oh, they do okay in the tournament. Sorry, Chad, with Rutgers, or Wake wins their 4-5 matchup with Miami, and they still get left out because they didn't take advantage of scheduling when the opportunity was there.
So your final thought is that the committee is going to get it right, unlike us, and leave Wake out.
They get it right all the time. I mean, they punish 300, you know, teams around 300 in the out-of-conference.
I tried to punish them.
That
happens. Send messages.
Mm-hmm. Griggs, I think you're the only one left.
Okay, well, it's nice to be on the ball. I think that you see it every year, so this is hardly like profound. Somebody that is outside the bubble right now will play in the Sweet 16, and it wouldn't shock me if it's an Atlantic 10 team that isn't Davidson. Because, like, I think those teams are playing at a high level. I think it took them a while to get there, albeit ECU kind of stubbed their toe in last game. But Dayton is there, and they're getting more and more consistent. It wouldn't shock me if the Flyers got in via the auto bid and then won and then made it to the second weekend.
It could happen. I guess one other team we didn't really discuss on that other considered board, that Oklahoma team as well. They moved a couple games over 500. Keep an eye on them if they can get a couple wins in the Big 12 tournament. That they're a team that still has that strength of schedule to get there as well. But on that note, let's go ahead and pull this. What we're going to do is we're going to post this bracket down below. If you haven't looked at it yet already, you can go ahead and look at it. But I'm going to pull this down. here and take this chance now to thank everybody for joining us. On behalf of John Tytel, live from the Colonial Athletic Association Tournament, and John Stalica, I think I pointed the wrong directions there, Mike Cha in the center square, David Griggs in the puppet bunker below him, David Dorman and Joby Fortson to the sides, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back in a few hours later tonight with a video notebook and all kinds of other content coming up the rest of the week. We'll talk to you again real soon.